try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on?
Good morning, everybody.
While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone.
This is You Get the Blessing.
We can work it out. We can work it out.
I'm Bo Mitchell, your host.
Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right.
My co-host is Mark Klibbe.
Good morning, Bo.
And you're listening to the Beatles,
which we love.
We can work it out, folks, and that's part of why this program exists, actually. We exist to typically introduce you each week to special guests that we think are impacting this community for the cause of Jesus Christ and the things of his kingdom. Once in a while, we venture off on our own, and we do what we call a program named Tips from the Team, and Mark and I just share a simple thought or two that we hope will be helpful to you. And today, we're going to talk about a way in which we are supposed to share Christ with the world, the community, our neighbors, our friends who maybe don't have a relationship with Christ. And we're going to talk about some things you should be doing and some things you shouldn't be doing. So for lack of a better title, I guess I would call this common ground evangelism. So evangelism is simply a word that describes sharing your faith in Christ with other people. And common ground comes from a scripture in the Living Bible, which Bob Belts, our in-house Bible expert, tells me is really not much of a Bible. It's a paraphrase, and I love it. Dan Stavely at the University of Colorado used to call it the linebacker's edition. He said even the linebackers can understand it. But for me, it just takes the King James or even the NIV and puts it into a language that's just easier to understand what the original meaning of the Bible is. So,
isn't that what common ground evangelism is, though? Putting in a common language or talking to people where they're at and being able to share simple truths in a way that they would be open to it and be able to understand it.
Yeah, it is. You're right. But and the specific verse we're referring to when we say common ground is where Paul says, whatever a man is like, I try to find a common ground with that man so I may share Christ with him and Christ may save him. In the King James, it's Paul saying, I've become all things to all men, so that by all means he can communicate Christ with him. So does that mean he's a chameleon or a someone that blows whatever or goes whatever way the wind's blowing? No, that means he's a strategist, and he is, with intentionality, trying to do just what you said, Mark, teach or share what's happened to us in our own story and our own faith in Christ. So Bob Belts, again, our in-house expert on the Bible, pastor at Highline Community Church, has always taught that there's a core truth in the Bible that's simple. And yet, through the thousands of years since Christ, men have packaged that truth in ways that seem complicated and oftentimes are complicated. So Bob says we should be careful in that our message should not be a part of the packaging that's confusing, but should be the simplicity in that core of truth, which is God through Jesus Christ wants a relationship with every one of us. He wants us at what's called an age of accountability to come to a point where we make a decision to say yes or no, or maybe I'm still exploring. So as people who love family members, friends, people in our community that we've come in contact with, we're supposed to be on the lookout to have an impact on that unsaved world, right, Mark?
Yeah, you bet. And try to find those openings where, you know, that, you know, are actually ordained, which is kind of a concept that's hard to get your mind around. But, you know, if you pray about it and look for what God will put in front of you, he will put people in front of you that you will be able to find common ground with. I've found that whether it's, well, telling my story, coming to Christ at 52 years old, being able to find people that haven't heard the gospel later on in life, like I didn't, and tell them my story, or the, you know, the other things that have happened to me, you know, my drug addiction. I've been able to get to kids and that are having, you know, making bad decisions and saying, this is what happened to me, and this is where I found hope. That's all it's a lot of it's about, is showing where we found hope and they can find hope to get them through life. And life can be brutal sometimes. And that's where God will meet you a lot of times, is in that tough times of life.
And it's interesting you say that, because I've said many times on this program, God's a God of order and logic and also of the miraculous. But in terms of God being a God of order and logic, he really does use us as his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece down here to share with others. And the best thing to share is what's happened to us. So in your case, you have a story that aligns with thousands of people that couldn't relate to me and my story at all. And you have done a good job of sharing that. And it's interesting that we're talking about here more lifestyle evangelism, because it has been taught in the seminaries that, let's say 25, 50 years ago, it was people came to Christ through a church experience, half a dozen times darkening the doors of a church. And now they say that statistic is completely wiped out and changed, and people come to Christ through a half a dozen or more encounters, personal encounters and conversations with a friend. So that's why we're saying to you listeners today, Bo Mitchell, your host, Mark Klibbe, my co-host, we're saying that lifestyle evangelism, living out as a model for people that don't know Jesus, is critical. It's the way it's supposed to happen, as opposed to hearing say one thing and then do another thing. So the first step is living it, not just talking it.
Yeah, and well, to get to the point about church, I think a lot of people look at church, a lot of non-believers look at church, and they have bad experiences there. They don't feel comfortable there. So they don't even darken the doors of a church, much less hear the good news that might be preached there. So, you know, as Bob Belts, you know, pastor, has taught us, we are the pastor. We're the minister. We're the one that goes from the church out into the community and tells people, you know, about it might be the only time they get a chance to hear the gospel, which means the good news, which also takes me to the point where sometime when people are trying to share their religion with them, it doesn't sound like good news. You know, it is great news. It's a, you know, a God that wants to have a relationship with you, that loves you unbelievably. And they try to make it too complicated, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, again, back to the oftentimes we're pushing the package rather than the core of truth, which is, this is simple, actually, folks. So Don Reverts led me to Christ, and I had been going to a Methodist church for 14 years. 14 years. And moved to Denver and met Don a couple years later. And Don's style, which was very kind, gentle, not pushing. So people are not our projects. This is God's business, but we are a part of that, and we need to do it properly. So Christ as a leader, for example, was not self-promoting. So this isn't about me putting a notch on my spiritual gun belt. So that's one aspect of Christ's approach. He was also a great strategist, and we should be on the lookout strategically for who in my life, family, friends, circle of friends, whatever, might need to hear this core of truth about Jesus being the key to a good life. Well, Don Reverts had all of that stuff in place, and he was obedient, just like Jesus was, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he, in me, saw an opportunity, and he simply explained to me, this is what the third chapter of John says. It says, everybody has a decision to make, yes or no, as to what they're going to do with Jesus and his offer to have a relationship with us. And by faith, you make this decision. You come into relationship with him, and that's how you become a Christian. So when he said it to me, I, after having gone to the church for 14 years, I said, I've never heard it explained that simply. That sounds like a great deal. Why wouldn't everybody do that? And again, Don, with a good focus, said, well, let's worry about everybody else some other time. Right now, let's talk about you. And I said, well, I'm in. What do I do? And there are things you need to know when someone says that to you, when by creating common ground and sharing, as you said, Mark, the core truth in the Bible, not pushing it on somebody, but they say, okay, I'm in. Now what do I do? And the first is a simple prayer that you lead people in, where they pray, Lord Jesus, I ask you into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you for forgiveness of my sins, even though I may not know what my sins are. And all that I know of myself, I give to all I know of you. I don't need to have every question answered from the Bible, but all that I know about myself, I commit to you, Jesus. And that, mm-hmm. and that's the first step into a relationship with Christ. And that happened to you, Mark, you say, when you're in your early 50s.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot to be said, and maybe we need to talk a little bit about being earning the right to be heard. And that's a lot of times just being friendly to people, loving on people, and then they're more open to what you might be able to share to them. Yeah, in my case, it was being unemployed, being not in a good place, being angry over, you know, losing a job, and finding a group of guys that, you know, it was actually a Bible study. Nobody told me it was a Bible study, so that's probably why I went. But
what'd we tell you it was? I forgot. A golf group?
Yeah. It was Narrowgate Golf Club.
It sort of is a golf
group. And I had been in the golf business for almost 20 years, so sounded like a good group. I listened to a bunch of guys who were loving guys, did not understand what they were talking about. But after listening to them and just watching them and looking at them and saying, these people have something that I want, but they were friendly about it. They were loving on me, not knowing, you know, me from Adam. You know, it's the approach that we go to people too. A friend of mine several years ago, he was going through this question stage, and he was trying to, you know, think his way through faith, and he had faith questions. So we invited a couple couples over. My wife and I joined this other couple, and at the beginning of the conversation, this other couple started off the conversation by saying, "You're going to hell."
Beautiful.
Now, I just started laughing. I go, you know, that might be true, but I don't think anybody's going to be open to what you're saying if you're going to be in their face first thing, you're going to hell. Well,
not not the way it should be presented, Mark.
No,
I'm sorry that happened to you.
It wasn't a friendly way of...
it's the old turn or burn approach.
Yeah,
listen to
exactly.
me right now and sign up. Or yeah, that's backwards as to what we're saying, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it doesn't, you know, I'm a firm believer of sharing a God that loves you. And this is, you know, the creator of all things wants to have you know him. And all you got to do is reach out to him. That's a simple way to start it. And I think that it's a lot better than telling people they're going to hell.
You know, I can come up quickly with an exception, though, in that as a strategist like Paul was and like Jesus was in his leadership style and sharing with other, you have to read the mail. So read the person as to mm-hmm. where they are. And I did have a friend call who said, my father has been told he has 30 days to live. And he wants to go to heaven, and he wants you to come over and explain to him how he can go to heaven and not to hell. So in that case, I said, well, Jeff, if you're serious, I'll come right now. I'll be there in 10 minutes. So,
but you did that in a positive way. You told him how he could go to heaven.
Yes, true. But I did start by saying to him, you know, Mr. Burke, you've never impressed me as a stupid individual. And he said, well, thank you. And he was in a bed, and he was very sick. And I said, so I've been told by your son that you want me to come over and share how to go to heaven. So if I tell you how, and keep it simple, will you say yes? And he teared up and said yes. So reading the mail there, here's a guy that's been told he has 30 days to live, and he was serious. Mm-hmm. He wanted to... make sure that my eternal life was going to be in the right place, not the wrong place. So I shared the gospel with him. He prayed to receive Christ, the prayer I just mentioned earlier. And then I'll talk a little bit about it. The second thing you need to do, if you are the person who's the last link on the chain, which is rare, but you are the person who God uses to lead someone to Christ, as soon as possible, you need to reinforce what has happened. So in the case of Mr. Burke, I called him the next day. What happened? What happened yesterday when I was there? And he said, first he said, I made a connection with God, which was a comfortable way for him to express it. A couple days, I said, you did more than that, but I didn't push it. And a couple days later, I said, well, what happened when I was over there a few days ago? And he said, I accepted Jesus and came into relationship with Christ. And I said, and what's the result of that? And he said, my name is written in the book of life, which the Bible says, and I am going to heaven. So he got it. And he died a few weeks later, and I'm sure I'll see him again in heaven someday, hoping that the angels in heaven sang a hallelujah chorus the day that he made a commitment to Christ. But common ground evangelism, which is the top title for today's tips from the team, which Mark Klibbe and I are discussing, can start in any number of ways. So I just stumbled on thinking, you're really not the last link on the chain normally. So it's your life and the common ground you create with an unsaved world that leads people into this comfortable, as Mark said, point where you've earned the right to be heard and you can share the core of truth in the Bible. So let's just throw out some common ground we can create with people. Mark, maybe you just fire one out and then I'll follow up.
You know, it a lot of times it's a tragedy in their life. So you can, you know, look at, being unemployed or, you know, have gone through a rough time of some sort. I've found that sharing that with somebody as far as, you know, that sharing.
I don't know how people get through tough times without Christ and the things of Christ.
Well, that's one thing that you said to me before I even knew Christ, was you said, do you have a faith to fall back on?
To get you through this, when you'd been
unemployed. And a tough time.
You said no.
No.
You were more honest than most people.
But, you know, you can do it through sports.
Golf is great common ground for me. I mean, or a ball game. Where are you going to spend 3 or 4 hours with someone? And not for the purpose of pushing someone towards Christ, but just for the purpose of being with them, learning about them. Food's another one. I mean, we got to eat, right?
Yeah. That's a lot of common ground. That's a lot in the Bible is, making a meal. That's why churches a lot of times put together a meal, or ministries put together a package, their message in a meal that people can share.
Yeah, just let's get together and do nothing. Let's have lunch. Let's whatever. So, now Richard Beach was different. He had a full blown gift of evangelism, and he could take any situation. I mean, I can remember playing golf with Richard, and someone would throw out the Lord's name in vain after missing a putt, and Richard would say, "You know, actually, the name you're referring to there, Jesus, could probably help you with your putting if you wouldn't disrespect him so much as to use his name that way." And normally the other guy would say, I don't know what you're talking about. And all of a sudden, boy, a conversation is struck up about Christ and how to become a Christian and how to try to, do our best to trust him to help us lead an obedient life.
He'd always start up a conversation, and then it'd wrap around to him saying, "You ever thought about faith issues?"
Yes, exactly. On an airplane across the aisle from me, a hostess at the drink cart, down on her knees, reaching for something on the bottom of the cart, and Richard saying, "I spend a lot of time on my knees." So just looking for an opening. But I was going to say, in reference to what you said about tough people going through tough times, you got to be prepared for that. You got to study a little. You got to walk with Christ a little. Learn that there are answers in the Bible that people are eventually going to ask you for, and be ready. So when Columbine happened, I've shared this, I believe, on this program before. Chauncey Billups was on our team with Denver, and we were playing Portland that night. So that was April 20th, long time ago, 2000, 2001. And so I got to the arena assuming game will be canceled and the tragedy had happened. But Chauncey knew Portland had just got there, and he said, "Let's have chapel right now with both teams." So we did, and we prayed for the victims. We prayed for the families. And then I asked the guys the question, if you were called right now to Columbine to give comfort to these families, would you be comfortable with that? And they, to a man, they said, no, that would be scary for me. Mm-hmm. And I say, I want to be called because of the changes Christ has brought into me. Doesn't make me anything special, but I feel prepared just through practicing a little bit to say the right things to those people and to help them. So that's part of common ground. Creating common ground is to get yourself prepared for when somebody says, "You got anything for me?" We got Rockies players that'll say that to me as a team chaplain. "You got anything that'll make me better right now?" As they're heading into a ball game, I'm like, "Well, let me think." I try to keep it off baseball and on to, just personal issues of confidence and faith and, commitment and understanding. But I think you're very good at it, Mark. You're good at common ground evangelism.
Well, and as far as being knowledgeable, I find myself, I wish I could quote Scripture, but I know the principles behind Scripture, and I can tell them the tales. Is it going to be quoting Scripture? No. Maybe that's good. I don't know. I'm not sure if it might sound too heaven forbid, the too religious for some people.
Well, I think you do a good job at it. So what we're encouraging you to do, listeners, is this. Make a list of names of people in your family or friends of yours that you think may be outside of a relationship with Christ, and people that you're praying for and you continue to pray for, and you start looking for opportunities to maybe have them observe you walk with Christ, and then turn up the volume and talk eventually about how simple this procedure is. It's not as complicated as the packaging of man has made it over time. It's the core of truth in the Bible. God loves every one of us, has a perfect plan for our lives, and uses all of us, Mark, Bo, all of you listening, Lori, to be salt and light in this life and to share Christ with others. So we're praying that for you, that you have a list, that you will see through whatever means an opening to just be kind and loving and friendly and eventually specific about how someone can receive Christ. Not tough, is it, Mark?
No, it's not tough. And if you found, got that relationship with Jesus, and why wouldn't you want to share that with people? It's
best news we've ever heard.
Best news. And the best day of my life was when I got introduced to Jesus in such a way that I could say, I got to find out what that looks like.
I was glad to be a part of that. You haven't ever thanked me for that, Mark.
Thank you.
Just kidding. That was a blessed time. And we love being with you folks on this radio program. So come back with us next week on You Get the Blessing. Thanks for tuning in today, and have a great week.
Keep on talking till I can go on. While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that I